is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're here. We've got our coffee, got our Bibles, got our, and that's really about all you need on Saturday morning, isn't it? Wouldn't you say so, John?
Amen.
What else do you need? Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And, we are here. We welcome you, the remnant, this Saturday morning, March 5th, 2016. And like I said, this is Coffee with the Wranglers. We've got our Bibles, got our coffee. We'll open up the phone lines in a little bit. Sun's coming up over the mountains. Oh, that looks pretty good out this morning. Looks like a beautiful day today. We've got the prayer for the Scriptures for America, Gideon Elite Prayer Warriors, for March 2016. I'm going to ask you to pray that with us this morning. And we've mailed this out to those that request this. And if you'd like to get it, we'd be glad to send it to you. Try to get one out just about every month. Usually coincides with the newsletter, which I believe went out in the mail yesterday. Is that right, Jason?
Yep.
So,
yep.
So that volume 2 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter is headed your way as well. And we're going to pray this prayer. And there's some other scriptures that go along with it. And we might catch one of those. But if you'd like this prayer, we'll be glad to send it to you. And we'll have it on the website as well. Lord God,
go ahead and read the scripture too.
Okay.
We got time.
Okay, we can do that. Starting in 1 Kings 19, verses 9 through 14. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing wind. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Lord God of Israel, Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we too feel as Elijah felt, alone. For the children of Israel have sinned greatly against you, O Lord, and have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down thine altars, and slain, imprisoned, and persecuted the prophets. But praise be to Jesus, for the prophet Malachi, who gave us this promise in Malachi 4, 1-6. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. You will tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. O Father, the sun is risen on that day that cometh. But with the dawn there is still wickedness. There are still the proud that have not been burned up. We have been sent Elijah and John the Baptist. But Lord, the hearts of the fathers have not turned to the children. And the hearts of the children are far from the fathers. In Matthew 17 verses 11 through 13 we read, And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. My Lord, your word says that Elijah shall restore all things. What things, my Lord? When we look, Lord, we see no restoration. We see no rebuilding, but a tearing down and the destruction of foundations. For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Lord, we acknowledge that there is nothing but the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. Lord, we humbly ask, what can the righteous do? Shall we pray to withhold the rain as Elijah? Shall we pray for a battle such as Gideon? Shall we gather our forces and fight as Joshua fought? Shall we march around the city? Shall we wait on an angel to slay the wicked? What, Lord, what shall we do? For, Lord, we claim that righteousness, that righteousness that we received through repentance and proper baptism in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The battles with our flesh have failed. The battles with our wisdom have failed. The battles with our knowledge have failed. The battles with our understanding have failed. We have failed. Yet, Lord, it is your promise that gives us hope. No more shall we fight our fight. We will fight your fight. Hear us, Father. Look down upon us and hear us as we boldly proclaim that we give up, that we can't do it on our own. We know that there is no victory on any terms except yours. We, your people, see that you, Lord Jesus, do not live in the wind, the earthquake, nor are you in the fire, just as you do not live in judgment, though your word is clear that you will judge. You live in that still small voice of mercy, of grace, and love for your people. It is that voice that we long for and desire to hear and to obey. The love that you have is that of a father for an unworthy people who would send his only begotten son to die a horrible death to save a wretch like me. Lord God, you live in love, and we, your people, are jealous for you. Burn in our hearts that love for your bride Israel. Burn in us the desire of a groom going after that bride as the body of Christ. Bring healing to that body, for Scripture says that body still bears the wounds upon the hands, and that body still carries a side that is pierced. In John 20:26-29 we read, "After 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Reach here with your finger, and see my hands, and reach here your hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Father, let us not be found without faith, but let us be found believing. For Lord, we cry out in that belief. Hear us, your remnant, and tell us what you would have the righteous to do. Look down upon us in your grace and mercy, and see the tearing of our hearts, the torments in our spirits, and deliver us, Father. Deliver your people Israel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Richard. You mind giving the people an update on where we're at regarding the call for a solemn assembly, the dates for Branson, and some of the brethren that have called up and accepted the call, some in a huge way?
Sure. Well, we have a call for prayer and fasting, and we're requesting that you do just that, that you pray at times and you fast at times between now and June 10th. June 10th is the second Friday in June. That's when we're starting the 2016 Branson Family Reunion. We've called for it to be a solemn assembly, and John put out from the pulpit on Sunday, and we've talked about it on the radio and put some mailings out, and are still putting mailings out, and emails. We've sent them out with the prayer chain and different venues like that. But we're calling for just that, for the remnant to come together in prayer and fasting. Doesn't mean you have to fast the 100 days till Branson, but we've had some people that have, fasted for a meal or two, or an overnight, especially if they, you might say, well, it's easy to fast overnight because I'm sleeping. Well, we've got a brother that works a night shift and said that while he's working that night shift, he'll be fasting. And so we do ask you, give us a call here at the office. We have a calendar that we're keeping track of those type things. Our office number, if you want to call during the week or after the broadcast today, is 307-742-7582. And we have had many answer the call from all across the country and all across the world. And so we've had a brother that said, hey, I'll take the Thursdays in March. I'll fast every Thursday in March. We've had another one said, hey, I'll fast on Tuesdays. And we've had those that... one called and said, hey, or emailed in, said, I'm fasting today, and that was yesterday. We've got another brother, again, that is working an evening shift and fasting all overnight while he's up working till noon the next day. And then...
and that's all the way till the solemn assembly.
Yes. And so so we encourage you, we ask you to do that. All, you know, there were several times in Joel we read about it. We read about it in other places as well where... a fast was called for, a solemn assembly.
Here,
and it's a time.
It.
It's a time to draw near to God. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, let's say, you know, there may be some people that are joining this morning are saying, what in the world are you talking about, a solemn assembly? Well, this is a good example of what it is, and it's found in Joel chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Blow a trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out of his room, and the bride out of her bridal chamber. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they among the people say, where is their God? That's just a small piece of what the Solemn Assembly is.
Well, guys, we have a caller. Let me get the buttons pushed here. Got good evening. Good morning, Joe.
Yeah, hi. This is Coffee with the Wranglers.
This is Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. You're still plugging away. Well, I have not been able to get the broadcast on shortwave. Probably the majority of yesterday, as well as this morning, and I just checked the WTWW streaming on transmitter one, and it's dead. But funny thing is, there's a UFO guys on transmitter two coming in really well. So
we'll check it out. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. All right. Like you probably can imagine, I don't know what you're talking about. So praise the Lord, he works all for good.
Amen.
And, just keep on doing what you're doing there, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have a good night, or have a good morning.
All right, you too.
Bye now.
Well, we do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call in. And talking about this call for prayer and fasting. And again, if you'd like to, again, you don't have to, don't have to pray and fast the whole time between now and then. If you can take a day, if you can take a meal, we ask you to do that. And you don't have to, don't think you have to spend hours and hours on your knees praying. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But if you will, if you can, at least, a true effort, prayers from the heart. Sincere prayers today. For God's will to be done, for his people to have their eyes opened. That is what is a pleasing aroma to our Heavenly Father today. He doesn't require us to slaughter the ox or the two turtle doves or the year-old lamb without blemish, as we read in the Old Testament. No, we have had that perfect sacrifice. You read through the Old Testament, and when our Lord called and set up those ordinances for those sacrifices, he said time and time again that it was a pleasing aroma to him. It pleased him to have that. Well, we know it pleased him to have his son, Jesus Christ, go to the cross to be that ultimate sacrifice. And now the Word tells us that it's our prayers that are a pleasing aroma to him. And so we ask you, Remnant, to do that very thing, to pray and fast for this nation, for this ministry, as we prepare for this solemn assembly.
At a bare minimum, you can set your phone or your watch or your clock and pray at noon all across the country and the world. Pray the Lord's Prayer and just whatever the Holy Spirit puts upon your heart as far as preparation, anointing, cleansing, whatever it is that the Lord puts upon your heart regarding the solemn assembly. And I think an interesting thing is, over the years, I can't remember where we've prepared for Branson earlier than right now. And this solemn assembly thing's been on my heart pretty much since the new year and weigh in whether, you know, can we call for a solemn assembly? Well, we already called for a solemn assembly right after Pastor Peters passed away in the winter of 2011. Well, the timing was such that a lot of the remnant wasn't able to make it. And the thing I remember, though, was many of them that keep close contact with the ministry said that they regretted that right after that weekend that they had a guilty feeling in their heart that they messed up, that they made a mistake, that they should have made the sacrifice and came. And the beauty of our Lord is just like in the Passover. He gives us that second chance, the 30 days later. I believe God's given us the second chance. And if you look at the things going on in the world and the statistics of all the evil, there's never been a better time for His people who are called by His name to humble themselves and seek His face. That's the thing that we have to do. I meet with this group on Wednesday mornings as a prayer breakfast, and one of the things, one of the men who I admire somewhat, although he doesn't understand the truth, he said, well, in this Bible study that I go to on Saturday afternoons or something, he said, one of the men said, just close your eyes, put everything behind you, you know, remove the things of the world, and picture Jesus. Just take 3 minutes and picture nothing but Jesus. And you'd be amazed at the different circumstances that He'll put Jesus in your life. And so we tried it that morning, and of course it's a little more difficult when you're in a restaurant, but if you can go to that secret place and take 3 minutes and picture Jesus, you'll see what I'm talking about. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Are you taking the 3 minutes?
I don't know if we need to take 3 minutes of silence on the radio right now, but I agree with you. We should do that. And now, as you said, more than ever, you know, Hollywood is ramping up. They are coming out with more, you know, the Young Messiah film. And, you know, they're coming out with more and more movies regarding the time of Christ and that type of thing. Folks, don't get suckered in by that stuff. You've got your word, okay? Go with your word. And when you picture Jesus, yeah, picture Him in your mind. Don't expect to look at Him on the boob tube. I think it's as important now as ever to remember that.
Well, and the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize too is that you know, we're told to fast. You know, it's told to us over and over and over throughout the scriptures. Fast. Matthew 6. 16, I think it's a good example. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites." I mean, it doesn't say if you fast. It doesn't say if you decide you want to fast. It says when you fast. I mean, and it's something that we are supposed to do. It's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to be part of our life. It's supposed to be part of our culture, and it's something that, you know, is. Used to be, even, you know, 30 years ago, it was a pretty common practice. I mean, that there was a lot of churches that, you know, had people fasting on a weekly basis. There were certain people that fasted on certain days, and it's something that's really just, it's really gone by the wayside. You know, there's a lot of different benefits that you can do from a fast. It's actually good for a person's health. It's you know, one of the things that can do a complete autoimmune reset on your immune system. And it's, you know, it's, there's health benefits from it, there's spiritual benefits from it.
Yes.
There's things that, that, you know, we may not even know that benefit us from it, but we know that we're told to do it. When we're told to do something by God, you know, we don't have to understand the ins and outs of it. You know, we have to be obedient to it. You know, and there's where a lot of people get sidetracked, I believe, is because they want to understand why they need to do this or what they need to do, you know. And, you know, our Heavenly Father, He's a King, He's a Father. You know, as a father, you don't always have to explain everything to your children. It's because I said so, you know, and that's being in authority. And, you know, I believe that when you do something, and you do it because our Heavenly Father says to do it, even if you don't understand it, that that pleases Him. Because it puts Him in a position of authority, and it puts Him in a position of, you know, of a kingship over a person. And we do it because He said so, because we don't have to understand the hows and the whys and the ands and the buts and, you know, and argue with Him about it. It's because His Word says to do it. We're being obedient. You know, and if you look at that, you know, the story of Gideon, you know, that's going to be coming out in this, I believe it's in this Ramrod article that's coming out in this volume 2 that people should be receiving here in the near future if they're signed up for that list. But you know, there was a lot of lessons to be learned in the Gideon story on just strictly being obedient. You know, and it to me it ties in with the story of Joshua so much. I mean, you know, Joshua was he was a mighty man of God, and I believe that it was because he was obedient. Because when he was told to do something, he did it. And I think we got a lot to learn from those stories.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joel 1:14, sanctify ye a feast and call for a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants into the land, to the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. We've got Acts 13:3 that says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You know, I went through and just looked up the word fasting, and I think that as we're going into a fasting, you know, solemn assembly time, it's a good idea for somebody just to get out of concordance or type in fasting or open it up and look at it and start going through the scriptures. And it's pretty eye-opening, and it's a good, I believe it's a good little study that you can do and write down those scriptures on fasting, because you sure learn a lot.
Amen.
Absolutely. Yeah, in Romans 10, that's the chapter we were in this week in that men's prayer breakfast that I lead. But anyways, starting in verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So that's our job. That's the Great Commission. That's what we're doing here on Coffee with the Wranglers on Saturday morning and Wednesday night prayer meeting and 7x70 and Gideon's Armory and everything else, trying to fulfill that Great Commission.
Yeah, it's exciting times. I mean, the thing is you know, I believe that things, as you look around, it's hard to not see that things are changing, and they're changing drastically. You know, and the things that we've seen in the last 5 years have just increased exponentially. You know, the stuff that we thought was 10, 15, you know, years out, or that maybe we'd never see, it's happening before our eyes. It's pretty obvious that things are changing. And, you know, I believe that as we go into this next year, the solar year of, 2016, that things are going to be even more different than they were last year. And, you know, now is the time to be and to draw closer to God, to have that relationship, to, you know, rely on that, and, you know, to pray continually that you will be found worthy to escape the destructions to come, because the destructions that are coming are directly ahead of us. It's just that I believe that's the times that we're in. You know, we don't know. Yeah, we don't know if it's this year, if it's next year. But the days of the Lord are upon us, regardless.
Yes.
And that's obvious, and the signs are becoming more and more evident of it. You know, now some people still can't see it, and some people, you know, I don't know, I think they're bad enough, and, you know, it's that time to have that daily communion, that daily walk, you know, where you've got God on your side, because that's the only thing that's going to save a person in what we're going to face in the future. Now, we don't know exactly when it is, but I can tell you one thing, it's soon. And, you know, soon can be a relative term, but it's coming.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. The things that we've been seeing, they continue to grow and grow. They've got, you know, the little, here in Laramie, the little local school board is, you know, they've been considering a transgender policy. You know, here in just little old Laramie, you know, 30,000 people. And things like that were unheard of 10 years ago. You know, that we're still being invaded.
North Carolina actually passed it.
Yeah. Oh, many states have. Many counties
Charlotte,
and states
North
have.
Carolina.
And many of them have. And I'm just saying, it's reaching out everywhere. Because our enemy does not stop that. Their father, the devil, he was a liar and a killer from the beginning, and that's what he does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I like how our pastor put it. He said, you know, there are creators of civilization, and there are destroyers. And the Western man, the Christian man, has always been a creator. Now, he's done his fair share of destroying as well, but he's always been a creator of civilizations. You know, those that are pushing this stuff, well, they're destroyers. It's as simple as that. You know, we don't talk much about the illegal invasion from the South anymore. It's just accepted. It's just part of everyday life. Had a note here from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, said that between October of 2015 and the end of January 2016, the number of people coming across the Southwest border, they feel, has just about doubled. The people they've apprehended is more than double that same period last year. And so it's just not on the news anymore, you know. But Caitlyn Jenner's doing interviews, and, you know, they found a knife that is tied to O.J. Simpson. You know, those are the big things that they're putting out wanting people to pay attention to. Not that we're, you know, double the number of people that have been invading us from the South are invading us. The schools, the universities are absolute just houses of ungodliness anymore, with the things that are being pushed in them. You're right, Jason. If there's ever been a time to be right with God, is it not now?
Well, you see, I don't know if you saw this. You won't see it on the mainstream media, but Judge Roy Moore just on Friday upheld Alabama's Supreme Court ruling that a marriage is between one man and one woman, and said that the five who ruled that it was the law of the land were in contradiction to the true Supreme Court, and they will answer to, you know, to God. And boy, you just gotta take your hat off to a man who's you know they're going to come against him. They're going to do everything they can to remove him, but he knows that there's a greater judgment than what man's judgment can be, and he fears God. And that's the problem. If you sum it up in the world today, people don't fear God. And the second thing is that they've replaced God with government. But then, you know, there's another story there. I don't know if you saw this one too, but California is trying to pass a law now that no state employees from the state of California can go to any other state, which there's 21, I guess, that still have religious laws, liberty laws. I didn't even realize that some of them had given up their religious liberty laws. But anyways, so they're trying, this bill is in the House and going to the Senate or whatever, about that no state employees can spend any money in any of these states that does not openly accept LGBT philosophies, which includes pedophilia, by the way. And anyways, of course, once it was brought to their attention, well, your stupid law makes it so UCLA and all the football teams can't travel to the different, they'd basically be knocked out of the conference, and that's the god of money. So all of a sudden, they have to rethink that law.
Yeah, you know, they'll modify that.
A book, yeah, that's what they're doing too, but it reminds me of a book Pastor Peters wrote, Whores Galore in America, and if you think about it, that's really what it is. So many people, so many professions, including ministers and preachers, pastors, have really whored themselves for money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, when we're talking about that judge, you know, it reminded me of the scriptures found in Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And, you know, right there, that's, you know, that's where it is. That's the beginning. I mean, that's where it starts. You know, beginning is a place to start. But, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there's a lot of people that don't have the beginning. They don't know where to start because they don't fear God. You know, there's people need to be thinking about that. Is, you know, does this make God happy or does this make God unhappy? You know, and make their decisions based on that. And if people would make their decisions based on that and that alone, it would change the course of a nation.
Well, it always has. Amen. It always has. When the people start thinking, not just for me, you know, not just for me. But that's that, you know, that's what the enemy puts out is, you know, what's good for you. You do what feels good. Do anything that comes to mind. Everything's okay. Anything goes. You know, you want to dress up as a girl today? Dress up as a girl today. Tomorrow, do that. You know, here it's sin, and it's rampant in the land. But you're right. When the people will turn from that and turn back to God and think, hey, wait a minute, is this going to be pleasing to God, or is this going to be displeasing to Him? Well, guys, phone line's ringing. Let's get over there. Hey, good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning.
This is Bob. And I enjoyed the few minutes I were able to hear you, but what I wanted to know is, got any idea when that shortwave will be back?
Haven't received a response yet, but if we hear about it here in the next half hour, we'll announce it on the radio, too. But
well, I wouldn't know it because I can't.
What's that?
I wouldn't know it because if it had known, I can't hear it. That's the only way I hear you people.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
let me check
anyway,
again.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Hey, thank you. Thanks
well,
for letting
thank
us know.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. I might drop off here trying to deal with this. So if I do, I'll call back.
All right. Well, His word is true. It is that rock that you can build upon today, regardless of what happens, regardless of the results of last Super Tuesday or this next Super Tuesday or, you know, whatever happens in that. So many people put their hope and their faith and they just, as long as fill in the blank, depending on what side of the fence you're on, gets elected, the economy will get better, or this will get better, or we'll get our guns back, or whatever. And, folks, that's the wrong place to put your hope. It truly is. It's the wrong place to put your hope. To quote Pastor Peters, there ain't a dime's worth of difference between any of them. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, any of them.
Yeah, it's you know, and just encourage people to do that. As you looking around and seeing what they're doing, I mean, the thing is we're being attacked on so many different fronts right now. You know, and we can see a lot of it with our eyes. But one of the things that people don't realize is that, you know, the targets and how they've targeted our food, and, you know, long term effects of that are just you know, amazing. I mean, there's an old saying, you are what you eat, and you know, with these Franken foods, and basically what they've turned a lot of our foods into, everything into, you know, from the plants and the vegetables are one of the things that, you know, you used to think of plants and vegetables as, you know, being able to eat in a salad is something that's good for you, something that's healthy. Well, it grows, you know, comes out of the dirt, and it's that just ain't so anymore if you're not watching what you eat and where those vegetables are coming from. Yep. With the way that everything's genetically modified and changed and bioengineered, and I mean, it's just, it's insane what they've done. And it's something that, you know, that I believe that there's a huge attack right there on something that, you know, people may not see on a regular basis. It's something that, you know, a lot of people, they just, a lot of people understand it, but a lot of people just don't get it and don't understand it. And they think that, well, you know, if it's still coming out of dirt and if it's still growing and if it's still coming from a plant, you know, that, you know, it's fine, it's healthy for you. And you look at what somebody thinks is healthy, and people have been attacked in that area because what people think are healthy isn't really healthy.
Right.
And our people, they tend to strive for that, to try to take care of themselves, try to eat a healthier diet. You know, I mean, the thing is when a person's healthy, they feel good and they think better. And, you know, I think that you look around and it's like you look around and there's these zombified zombies walking around. You look at the number of people that are on a prescription drug, and you know, it varies area to area, but you know, in some areas it's over 50%.
Oh yeah.
Some areas it's only, you know, 33%. But that's one out of two people that you run into being on a prescription drug, or one out of three people that you bump into being on some kind of prescription drugs.
Yeah, and it's not just old people anymore. It's not just older people.
No,
it's people in school. It's kindergartners, little kids, people in. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's you're the exception if you're not on a couple of prescription drugs. You know, people will look at you. I've noticed talking with people that, you know, if you say you're not on anything, you haven't been to the doctor. What do you mean you haven't been to the doctor? Well, you have to go to the doctor. You know, don't you? You know, how do you know if you're okay? You have to go get checked out. And you're the one that's looked at like you're crazy if you're not on three or four, you know, standing in line at the drugstore getting your monthly supply.
Yep. Exactly, and that's what they, you know, that's what they want, and is, you know, it ties in with that overtake. You know, they've changed. You know, and it's one of the things is they constantly went after that role of being a god, and people have constantly went on the as far as setting them up as a god. You know, they look to that government as a, you know, a place of welfare, of health, well being, and welfare, and. Yep. You know, well, if the FDA says it's okay, if this says it's okay, if that says it's okay, it's got to be good for you. They wouldn't, and they think that they wouldn't let anything bad happen to you or anything that's not good for you come into being. You know, and it's just simply ain't so.
Amen. Agreed.
There's a reason they call this dumb goyim in the protocols.
Absolutely.
Cattle. Trust in those that don't come only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's blessing, giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, and this is something interesting too. I'll share with you, men. But this Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, I was starting to try to tell these guys about a solemn assembly. Most of them never even heard of such a thing. Read the scripture that we read. And I was saying, you know, as soon as you figure out that God promised us in Deuteronomy 28, if we, his people, would keep his commandments, his statutes, and his laws, then verses 1 through 15 were all the blessings that he would shower down upon his people. But 16 through 68 are all of the curses that will come upon you if you don't. and they just don't understand that. And if you
don't.
If you look into those curses say you will eat your children. And I tried to bring that to their attention and read the scripture, and they're like, "Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me on that." I said, "Well, you ever had a hot dog?" And then, you know, they look at you like you're crazy.
Yep.
I said, "Just remember, the things I told you 10 years ago, you thought I was crazy, and they're all coming to pass." So don't dismiss it too easily.
Our pastor lived that, you know, from the book America the Conquered to the Baal worship in America that was mentioned earlier. Absolutely. He put that out, and the people, you know, thought he was crazy at the time. But those things have come to pass. There's another small book with the pastor that he put together. It's called A Double-Minded People. And if you have some friends like that, we encourage that little booklet, because that's a good booklet to try to get the people to see that if they hold on one hand, if they believe that, you know, black is black, and then on the other hand that black is white, that you can't hold two opposing viewpoints in your mind. It renders you, basically puts you in a spell. And that's, you know, our enemy, they are intellectual giants, and they understand those things, and that's what they've done. That's exactly what they've done. They put those opposing viewpoints in our people's minds, and it gets our people to where they can't think, they can't act, they just go along as the dumb goyim that they call us. And it brings you back to the Bible. Hopefully you're reading your Bible. We're encouraging you to do that. We're giving you the tools to help you do that. The Bible reading plan is available on the website at scripturesforamerica.org. And the March calendar is up there now, the March Bible reading plan. We've sent them out with the orders here from the office. And so the tools are there. The tools are there to draw closer to God, to draw near to God, to have your eyes open to just what John was talking about. What do you mean that would happen? Hey, read the Word. You can see something out here in your daily walk and believe it or not. But when you read about it in the Bible, you might not believe it, but you should. Because the Bible is truth. It is truth. And when you read it and when you apply that truth to your life, you know, when you see it and that Bible convicts you that something you're doing is wrong or something you are thinking is wrong, well, then you're at a crossroads. Then you get to decide, am I going to continue on because what I think that what I'm doing is right? Or are you going to read and believe what the Word says when the Word says, nah, doing this or thinking this is wrong? And when you go with what the Bible says over how you've been or thought or done, well, that's called repentance. And it's called change. But if you don't know what the Bible says, well, you're like that woman in Revelation who wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. I got nothing to repent of. And you don't want to be that way.
What's encouraging is the emails and phone calls and texts and things that you get from people who say, hey, I just want you to know that the prayer from, you know, January or July 2015 or 14 or 13 or whatever, that's a prayer that the Lord convicted me to pray, and I've been praying that, you know, every day.
Yeah.
Along with the new one. And, I mean, you know, there were some of us, some that were in our midst, that said that these prayers were silly and that we didn't need them, you know. All we need to do is just go through the Bible and pray the prayers that were prayed in the Bible. And but fortunately, they're not with us anymore. So, because our pastor knew that they weren't silly. And
right.
We can see the things that we prayed for, the falling of Babylon, the confusion in the camp of the enemy, that they would fall in the pits that they dig, and that they would be ensnared in the snares that they lay for God's people. We're seeing that. There's never been a time in an election cycle where there was more confusion than today.
That's right.
If you look and you see what's going on. And you know what? They don't know what to do. The enemy doesn't know what to do. And that's why this solemn assembly is so important. If we can come before God's throne and prostrate ourselves and cry out and bring rend our hearts with a broken spirit. That's what it's going to take, a broken spirit. Our spirit broken, where it's nothing but the Holy Spirit that's in us, that's leading and guiding us. If we can get to that point, He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal this land. And He will remove the tares. He will gather, bind, and burn them, just like His Word said He would.
Amen. His Word is true.
I feel it's critical. This is critical. This is a calling for His people. It's put your money where your mouth is, and it's not even about money. It's about your commitment. How badly do you want this? Are you willing to give up watching TV? Are you willing to give up some of these things that the world draws us? Because the reality is, as a people, we have worshipped creation, not the Creator. We've gotten to the point where there's things that we may not call them idols, but we put them before the Lord. And I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. But I know in my spirit and in my heart that now is the time. There's a reason that the last two Bransons was tearing down the high places, and it is time, because it is time. And you have to tear down those high places in your own life before you can get to that place where the Lord wants us to be, that broken, contrite spirit.
Amen.
Probably not a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of the ones that call in usually are listening on shortwave. I've been trying to get a hold of the station,
yeah,
but haven't been able. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before You humbly but fully, Lord. We don't know what's going on with WTWW, shortwave, with the transmitter one, SFAW, but You do, Lord. We ask right now that You send Your tech angels, Lord, that You would just repair it. We bind the forces of hell, any spells, any witchcraft, any evil that may have been sent against this station, against this transmitter, Lord, we bind it, send it to Your feet. We ask for the Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and just repair whatever it is that needs to be repaired, or give the engineers the knowledge and wisdom and understanding to get the shortwave transmitter back on the air. Lord, put angels, a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around that entire property, Lord. It's Your station. They acknowledge it. We acknowledge it. And we thank You, Lord, for this provision that You've made for Your people. So many people on this ministry, so many members of the body came to the truth through that shortwave, Lord. And we know that the Bible says that the devil is the prince of the air. So the Word of God going through the air has to irritate them. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You for that blessing that You've given us, Lord. When so much of the world says that that's old, antiquated technology, and we don't need it anymore. Well, we know why they don't want it, Lord, because it reaches out to the farthest depths of the earth, to the remnant, Lord, to Your people who are called by Your name. And we thank You, Lord, for that provision that You've made. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, we want to make sure before we run out of time this morning, we do invite you to church tomorrow. We'll be planning on having church at 10 o'clock Mountain Time at the La Porte Church of Christ in La Porte, Colorado. And we've had some visitors over the last few weeks, even though it's kind of winter time's wrapping up, and some people have braved the roads and been pretty good traveling weather the last few weeks. We've had some baptisms, and as we always say, if you're going to visit us in church, hey, give us a call. Let us know. And we'd be glad to have you. But you don't have to physically come to the church. You can join us at the website, scriptures4america.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And maybe you have time for this last caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I was just listening to your broadcast, and you're coming through good on internet and satellite.
Well, sure appreciate the update. Thanks for letting us know. Where are you calling from?
You betcha. Ohio.
Ohio. All right. Thanks. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Well, any closing comments?
Repent.
Amen.
Make the sacrifice to pray and to fast or make some sort of sacrifice, but please be in prayer for this solemn assembly. Pray for those that the Lord wants to speak, for anointing to come upon them, for the words that He wants for His people to hear. Pray for our people, the remnant's hearts, minds, and souls to be properly prepared. Pray that the facility will be cleansed of any spirits that aren't to be there and station angels outside the gates. Pray for wisdom for me so that I don't let any of those snakes in, because the reality is we can pray for those angels, but if we grant them access, then they have access. And many of you don't know it, but last year we had just that happen. Someone who was a good smoozer, and, you know, as Pastor would say, we're getting smarter. But there was one among our midst, one who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But because we accepted his application and we let him in, he could get through, even though we had those angels at the gates. This stuff's real. And the things we're learning about deliverance, the things we're learning from Pastor Cox, these are things that we need to learn. And I thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to us. You know, the Bible's clear that in the last days, knowledge would increase. And we're seeing that. Knowledge is increasing. The Lord is revealing things to us that have always been there, but they wouldn't be revealed until the proper time. If you read Daniel 9, that's exactly what the Archangel Michael told Daniel. Seal up these things until the proper time.
Amen. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Said someday that mountain might get up, but the Lord never will. He's making his way to hound. And that was a whole lot more than what their law would allow. He's still the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He kept on fighting the system and doing what his dad said was good. Way, the only way he knew how.
big lead.